This really is the rally that everyone wants to hate, right? As much as the news seems scary and bad and people worry about inflation, what happens? The market keeps on moving higher. And I suspect for the foreseeable future, it still will, which is one of the reasons why I keep encouraging people to have a diversified portfolio and to be in this market. I want to point out that portions of today's program are brought to you by Immunity Armor Gold. Immunity Armor Gold, it's the single product you can get with all the ingredients that you need packed into one single item. ImmunityArmorGold.com is where you need to go to get the product. Trish10 is your code for 10% off. Again, it's the most advanced immunity boosting formula you can get in one product. Go to ImmunityArmorGold.com. Use promo code Trish10 to get 10% off. That's ImmunityArmorGold.com. Promo code Trish10. But wow, I mean, we've got a market that has just been unstoppable in the face of a lot of bad stuff. In fact, you know, you might include the Fed in that. Morgan Stanley is starting to get really nervous about the Fed. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But first, I want to start with the news out of Tesla. Because wow, I mean, this is a CEO who just makes a lot of news, right? Via that Twitter account, like someone else I know. Anyway, he's a talented CEO. He's a brilliant CEO. He's amazingly innovative. And, you know, look, I think a lot of people that have criticized him have really been proven wrong. So this is one trade that you don't want to get caught on the wrong side of. But I do want to point out, what did I tell you back in August 2020, right before the stock split? I said, this is a company that you want to buy because it's a great hedge against things that could happen either way, right? On the political front, because it benefits from conservatives that are offering a low tax environment in that it would help the economy. And this is seen as sort of a luxury item. And it would also benefit if the left was in charge and you saw a lot in the way of push towards green energy, which is what we're seeing right now. So wow, the Tesla has just been on fire. I've liked it for a really long time, but I made that call back in August 2020 because it was the one place that I really felt you could be and hedge any of that risk. And you know what? I stand by that because it's now up 1400% or so since I said that. Today, a little bit more challenge. We just got word that Elon sold more stock. Elon Musk selling, let's see, 687 million shares. This would be on top of the 5 billion shares he sold earlier in the week. I'm going to get to sort of my reasoning here behind why I would hang on to this stock right now, even though it's down at the $1,027 level right now. It's one of the most innovative companies out there. And I know that everybody's getting into this space. It's actually getting pretty crowded. And there are other opportunities, but I still like this one. I really do. But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about Morgan Stanley and their note today, because the CIO, the chief investment officer, is striking a cautionary tone, saying that she's concerned that there's a bit of a divorce, if you would, between the fundamentals in the economy and what the market is thinking and what the Fed is thinking. In fact, this is in a note that she sent out, and I want to read directly from it for you, because this is, you know, we've heard a lot of people express some concerns. I mean, I've been one, of course, that have expressed these concerns about the Federal Reserve, but this is now coming from the CIO of Morgan Stanley Wealth Management in a note on this week saying, quote, "We are concerned that Fed policy is divorced from the fundamentals." You know, the Fed's job is to watch for inflation and to make sure we have as much employment as we can get. I understand they're concerned about employment. We just had another 4 million people, 4.4 million, walk off the job in the month of September. But that's, you know, reflecting a very low unemployment market and a very tight labor market. So, you know, if I'm the Fed, I'm sitting there going, hey, you know what? We've done a pretty good job on the employment front. Maybe we should focus on the inflation front a little bit more. And I think that's the concern of some investors. All that said, still in this inflationary environment, I encourage people to be invested. I encourage you to be invested in stocks. I encourage you to be invested in real estate. I encourage you to be invested in precious metals. You want a diversified portfolio, a really well-diversified portfolio, because that's what's going to help you see through all this sort of craziness right now. I'm going to get back to the EV space in just a moment, but to continue on that sort of diversified portfolio, It's one of the reasons why I like gold. And I keep telling you I like gold. And again, that's another trade that you probably would have done pretty well on if you had bought gold back. Certainly when I started this show, just a reminder, if you're watching, please hit that subscribe button on the side of the screen. Make sure that you subscribe to this channel. It's a big part of how I'm able to grow and connect with my audience. So do me that favor and give us a thumbs up. But I did say back in August 2020, you know, buy gold. And I've actually said it for a long time. I told some friends to buy it 20 years ago, and they're very thankful that they did. But you know, what you need to remember with gold is that you can look at it in any time period, and there are times when the market outperforms gold, there are times when gold outperforms the market, but the reason you want it is because it's that hedge, it's that important hedge that helps you iron out some of that fluctuation that you're going to get from inflation. And by the way, you're getting plenty of it right now, right? With CPI up 6.2% this week, PPI up, you know, nearing 9%. I expect that these numbers are going to get worse, especially as we go into the Christmas holidays and the supply chain is so constrained. You're seeing prices go up, up, and up and away, and that's not going to change. So you want that ability to kind of mitigate some of this inflation. And for that, I look to gold. And I trust my friends at Legacy Precious Metals. They've been in business a long time, a wonderful, wonderful group. The founder, you can actually watch one of his videos right here on my YouTube channel. It's great. He started the company about 40 years ago. His son's involved with him as well. They've got a team of professionals that can help you figure out, do I want to have a gold-backed IRA, right? Because you can get a gold-backed IRA to help protect against some of this inflation. You can buy the real gold itself as well, and they can help you do that if you're somebody who wants to keep it in your home or keep it in your bank account. But any which way you do it, and they can guide you through that. They actually have an investment guide online at legacypminvestments.com, they'll be able to help you figure this out. It can be a little bit confusing, so I advise people to get that advice. And this company is really terrific at giving that. So Legacy Precious Metals, legacypminvestments.com, 1-866-589-0560, 1-866-589-0560. But really, let's go back for a moment. This is a rally that everybody loves to hate, and I want to speak about that because it's just going to continue going up as far as I see it, unless there's something that really systemically is going to break it. I mean, there's some concerns right now about the meme issue, the cryptocurrency issue. The Bank of England recently pointed to that, and we can talk about that. But first, I mean, you've got so many companies out there that are trying to get into this space that Elon Musk is in. And yes, Musk has an expensive stock. He tweets and scares the heck out of everybody. Right. I mean, don't forget last weekend, Elon Musk told everybody, well, you know, should I sell 10% of my company so that I can cover cap gains taxes? He seemed to be making a point, although, you know, it doesn't look like we're going to get those cap gains taxes. That seems to have been dropped for now anyway. But you got to wonder, was this in some way sort of a PR play? I wrote about this in an in-depth piece I published for American Consequences, AmericanConsequences.com, the magazine I published. And we get into all that because I'm looking at, well, why exactly did he do this? And, you know, perhaps the guy just wants to take a little money off the table. Like, I get it, right? He's entitled to do that. The problem for investors is they're sitting there going, okay, well, wait a second. It's happening on the same exact week that Rivian went public. And Rivian has this massive valuation, ticker symbol RIVN. I mean, started out at what, $78 a share on Wednesday, and now it's at $129. I mean, market cap is massive. It is sort of the darling, if you would, of Wall Street and perhaps government and a lot of different factions, a lot of big institutional investors. I don't know if Tesla's ever totally been that. It's kind of been this like love hate, right? Because institutional investors are like, what did he tweet? And he's got this history of tweeting. He landed in hot water with the SEC a few years back. And this particular tweet may also land him in some more hot water. But he's a talented, talented CEO who's willing to stand up for what he thinks is right for his business. And he's willing to take on a lot of heat. And, you know, I give him credit for that. And I give him credit for being the visionary that he is. And I'll tell you, I would trade, you know, I love Jeff Immelt. He's wonderful, as a person, but as a CEO, you look at what GE did And it was so challenged for so, I mean, now they've broken up into three separate companies, right? And so while he may have fit the perfect vision of what a CEO should be, maybe you don't want that perfect vision for the CEO. Maybe you need somebody who's willing to, you know, roll up their sleeves and do what needs to be done to really make that company into something. Elon Musk has certainly done that. And yes, now you have a lot of different players in there. I mean, look, the auto manufacturers, they've gotten the message. They need to be on board with this if they're going to have a future. But think about the fact that they're on board sort of. I mean, they're on board because they have to be on board, right? Not because it's their business. You look at what their plans are to sell, hey, 50% by 2030 of their vehicles as EVs. Well, they still have their main business. I mean, it's only going to be half their business, maybe by 2030, electronic vehicles. And so I think that you kind of want to be with the companies that are in more of a pure play space. And one of the things I like most about Tesla in terms of that innovation is it may not be just cars, right? I mean, you think about the batteries and what that could do. Actually, it could power your house someday. I mean, it's sort of limitless when you think of the possibilities of where this is going. And I think that the world is changing. The economy is structurally changing. And you want to be with those companies that are at the forefront of the change. It's hard for me to really speculate on Rivian and where that's going to go right now. Again, ticker symbol RIVN, only because we don't know enough, right? They haven't sold that many or delivered that many vehicles just yet. And so it's still in its infancy stage. We need to get a little bit more familiar with the management. We need to really see whether they're able to deliver on all these promises. We know Amazon likes them, right? They just ordered all those electronic pickup trucks. But I go back to what is the sort of tested company in this space, and for sure it's Tesla. And as long as Elon is in charge, I think that this is going to continue to be a stock that you want to own. I mean, it's challenging to buy right here. I would say that because you might want to let things settle out a little bit. But if you own it, right, if you bought it back when I said August 2020, that I thought it was a really good hedge against what was going on in the inflation. In the election, I think that it's still one of those companies that you want as part of your portfolio, which I stress needs to be a diversified portfolio, right? Everybody needs to be able to sleep at night, and you never want to be in a situation where you need cash and you can't get it because it means you have to sell these stocks, et cetera. But, you know, you do need to invest. You need to be a participant in this. No matter how little money you have, I say this is just so important to save for your future because this is you. This is investing in you, right? So you want diversification. I've talked about, you know, gold being up to 5% of your portfolio. Some people like it a little bit more. I look at that 5% range knowing that it's going to help me sort of even out some fluctuations. But then I, you know, if you're somebody who wants to be in this tech space, in this new energy space, Tesla is a great example of how you can do that. There's others out there. I mean, there's a whole basket of them now. You've got Canoe and Arrival and Fisher. By the way, they're all doing better in part because of the Rivian effect, given that company just went public and everybody's so excited about that. But, you know, hey, I mean, with Musk, I'll take a few bad tweets, okay? Like if the guy can actually produce as he has produced and make that much money for his shareholders, then, you know, what's a few bad tweets along the way? By the way, keep in mind, it's a volatile stock, right? I think that there's been a series of times, multiple times, actually, that the stock has traded, you know, down 5% on any given day. So you need to know what you're signing up for, so to speak. But again, it's why diversification really is important. Back to how this all plays out. When you look at Tesla and you consider sort of the history of the automobile sector, I think it's important to compare and contrast it with what we saw, say, in the early part of the 1900s. You can go back to what has been called the brass era. The brass era was a time when we had all kinds of innovation going on. Everybody was trying to get into the automobile sector. You know, Benz had sort of created the first one in the late 1800s. And then all of a sudden in the U.S., there was just this total boom. And you had companies like Packard and Studebaker and Peerless and a whole bunch of companies that you've never heard of. The Rickenbacker, I think. I mean, all of these, they made fantastic vehicles. And it was called the Brass Era because they had brass fittings on the vehicles. If you've ever been to an old car show, I was actually at one recently, a parade, and somebody had brought on all these old cars. They're so beautiful, right? So beautiful. They have all these brass fittings on them. And so that's why it was called the Brasser. And all these companies were in there. They were all trying to compete. But you know what? Only one really, really and truly made it. And that was Henry Ford and his Model T, because he had that innovation. He had the foresight to really think through how he was going to make this vehicle and change the world. And so I think Elon Musk has that quality. Now, it's a very different kind of proposition, right? Because Elon is starting with the luxury consumer. He's now going more mass market with the Model Y, whereas Henry Ford started mass market, knowing that, you know, people needed to be able to afford this. So Elon's had a different approach in some ways because he had to, right? Because I think he's sort of been fighting a lot, including the government, frankly, you know, every step of the way. There's now been a push in this latest $1 trillion infrastructure program to put $7 billion into these EV stations all across America. That will help. That'll help in terms of popularizing EVs. But really, ultimately, it's going to come down to his innovation and the company's ability to really move that forward. And I think that he does that better than anyone else. So even though you have all these players out there, and it's great, and the traditional auto manufacturers getting into this industry, I think ultimately there are going to be winners and losers. And I wouldn't bet. I just wouldn't bet against Tesla. I also wouldn't bet against this rally, not just yet. I mean, keep an eye on the 10-year yield that I am watching. It crept up a little bit, but you know, look, I mean, it's still, gosh, I mean, it is cheap, right? To borrow money from the U.S. government for 10 years and you're lucky to get 1.5% back, or rather to lend money, I should say. So they borrow from you and they pay you 1.5%. I mean, wow. I mean, it's kind of unthinkable that transaction. And it's like, who would take that? So given that the yields are so, so low right now in bonds and the 10-year, it still makes me think this is the only game in town. So investors want to be invested in this. And until we start to get some indication that that's going to change, I don't think that you're going to see much of a shift. Now, there are headwinds out there, right? We've got headwinds like, let me just say, the cryptocurrency world. And by the way, I love Bitcoin. Loved it at $100, loved it at $1,000 a coin. Was one of the first reporters actually to cover it. Was there the very first time it was ever taken as tender. This is like years ago, back in 2012, at a nightclub in New York City. And I saw the first transaction where they were taking Bitcoin. I liked it at $30,000. I liked it at $64,000. But, you know, here's the reality. You've got a very, very large, roughly $2.4 trillion crypto market that's got all kinds of things. I mean, there was the cryptocurrency that was created the other day because Elon Musk changed his Twitter handle to Lord Hedge. And all of a sudden there's like a cryptocurrency called Lord Hedge and it shot up in market cap. And you're like, okay, so what's really going on here? Is this just getting kind of crazy and kind of stupid? That's what the Bank of England thinks. And the Bank of England is worried about a collapse in cryptos and how that would affect the rest of the market. And they make a case that it could be similar to 2008. I don't totally buy that only because in 2008, you had many, many financial institutions owning all that subprime mortgage debt, which is very different than what we've got today, right? It's not like, oh, these institutions are levered up in cryptocurrencies, but you do have a lot of individuals. And so if individuals get burnt, they're going to be reluctant to come back into the market. We saw that with the NASDAQ in 2000. It took a lot of years. I mean, it was probably, 2014 before you saw a full recovery in the NASDAQ and tech stocks. So it's the reason why I stress that you do want to be in this market. You can't totally hate this rally if you're a realist. And you need to be selective about where you're putting your money. It's why diversification is so critical. It's why, you know what, if you want to be in the crypto space, I encourage people to look at things like Bitcoin and Ether and just say, okay, this is part of my portfolio, but be very cautious about some of these more eccentric vehicles that are out there right now, because you want to make sure that you can sleep at night, right? And that you protect yourself for your future. It's important right now, given all the changes that are happening in this economy. Anyway, just a quick reminder to subscribe to the channel. Make sure you do that. I'm here every single day with you, not always live. It's fun to be live, but it's great to be here with you. And I encourage you to subscribe, to give a thumbs up, and also to go to my website, trishintel.com, trishintel.com. You can sign up for my daily newsletter where we talk a lot about all of these issues facing our markets, our economy, the political situation. So do go up and sign up for Trish Intel at trishintel.com and download the full audio version of this podcast on Apple iTunes or on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And have a wonderful weekend, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in.